Ephesians 3, 14 through 21. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than we can ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. Morning. Yeah, great. Great to see you guys, too. We are going to be talking about heart strength. And because we're talking about that, I wanted to share with you a story of a visitor that was here last week. Her name is Peniel, and Peniel is just a precious little 7-year-old girl. And we have lots of little kids running around, which is awesome, but it was really special to see her last week at the milk and cookies area, just hanging out with the other kids and laughing and having a good time. It was last week that I got to know a little bit of her story. At 2 weeks old, she was sold. She's from Bolivia. She was sold for a couple bottles of beer. And through a course of the next couple weeks and months, she ended up being brought in by the Bolivian government. And the Bolivian government then handed her off to this Casa de Esperanza, the House of Hope, an orphanage, where there's some amazing people that work there. And they very quickly took this little girl in at two and a half months old. And they noticed right away that she was her color wasn't very good. She would get kind of purplish at times. And so they took her to the doctor. And what the doctor told them was that they could do a surgery for her. The surgery would take about $15,000 to perform the surgery. And it would hopefully work to buy her some time, maybe 6 months, a year, maybe a little bit longer. And so this orphanage, just awesome people, they raised the $15,000 so that she could have surgery in Bolivia. And the surgery went better than could be expected because she didn't just get 6 months or a year. She got about 6 years out of that surgery. And as she was kind of growing up like a little kid but still experiencing some health difficulties, a young lady from North Carolina went to Bolivia on a gap year program. And while she was in Bolivia, she went to this orphanage and met Peniel there. Her family also went down to visit her while she was there. And as they visited, her dad just fell in love with little Peniel. She would just go up to him, and she would be held by him. And he just, I mean, his heart just melted when he saw her. And if you saw her last week or met her, your hearts would melt also. Well, he realized also that something wasn't right physically with her. And so when he got back to North Carolina, he immediately started trying to figure out how can we help her medically. And through a series of prayers and time and planning and phone calls, they hooked up with the Children's Heart Project and then a number of GBC's finest. They all kind of got in conversation with one another and realized if we can get the U of M to do the surgery, then we can host them and we can make sure that they have a good situation while they're here. And so they spent time praying and planning and making this proposition to the U. And by God's grace, the U of M agreed to do the surgery. And so she had surgery about 2 weeks ago on her heart. And I knew that she was doing well because when I went to see her in the hospital, I walked in and they're like, oh, the pastor. First of all, 7-year-old's not real impressed by a pastor being here. But she like looked at me and went right back to watching Frozen. And she was so pumped about that movie that I thought, good, she's feeling great. That's what 7-year-olds are supposed to do. And so she was in the hospital for a week or so, and now she was out of the hospital here. She was here last week hanging out, running around with kids, and now she's back in North Carolina, and then her next stop from there will be Bolivia. And when I first heard the story, we're in this prayer series, I thought, wow, I would have a real hard time looking at that and going, what a bunch of interesting coincidences. Like, wow, I can't believe that chance brought, I mean, in my mind, when I hear something like that, I go, that's the power of prayer. That is God's grace that the government came along. That is God's grace that this amazing orphanage and Charles were there. That is God's grace that this girl spent her gap year there. That is God's grace that this man and Charles, there's multiple kids that they connected and that he went home and didn't drop the ball. It is God's grace that there are people who are passionate about it, part of our church, that the university may not even know that they're getting used by Jesus, but Jesus uses the university to do amazing miracles like Peniel, whose name means the face of God. And when you look at her, you see God's smile all over her. And I thought, what an amazing thing that God answered all of these prayers and is strengthening physically her heart. We are going to be talking about strength coming into our hearts. Not in the same sense as with Peniel, but it is no less miraculous when God pours his spirit into our lives and our hearts. We are in week 3 of our pastor prayers. You can go ahead and open up to Ephesians 3. This is page 977. Paul's prayers. I lied. It's called Paul's prayers, not pastor's prayers. Page 977. We've already been talking about how Paul talked about knowledge and power, and then today it's going to be strength. And if it feels like there's a little overlap, that should encourage you. Do you ever pray and it sounds like other prayers you've done? Well, that happens with Paul. He prays and he says a lot of the same kinds of things in his prayers, and that's what we're going to see in this passage. Now, next week, just time out for a second. Next week, we're going to step out of our regular sermon series. There's a friend of ours that's going to be here as a guest preacher next week. Brantley and I have been working on him for a few months, trying to get our calendars in sync, and it just worked out that he could be here next week to be preaching. So he's going to do something a little bit different, and he and I met this week, and we talked about what he's sharing, and I'm really excited that he's going to be here to share with all of you. And my kids are even more excited than I am that he's going to be here next week. And the reason they're more excited, well, there's two reasons. One is that they don't have to listen to me preach, which is always awesome for them because they're like, oh, Dad, we hear you all the time. So they don't like it. But then the second reason they're excited is because I showed them a video of Chris. His name is Chris Norman, or Christian Norman. And Chris was somebody that Desiring God, there's this website called Desiring God, did kind of a video on his life because he had an opportunity to go to the NFL, but instead he chose to go into the ministry. I actually had a very similar opportunity to go. So he had an opportunity to go to the NFL, but God called him in the ministry. And so if you want to look up his story later, his name's Chris Norman. If you just go Chris Norman Desiring God, you'll find it. You can watch the video. Just one caveat, okay? He's a little bit nervous about coming here to preach next week. He said, I don't know if they'll accept me, you know, receive what I have to say, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, no, I'm sure they won't care that the uniform you wore had the color green in it. I'm sure that won't bother anybody, right? Right? Grumble, grumble. All right, so get that out of your system. When he's here, he's one of us, even if he played somewhere else, all right? So that'll be next week. But today, we're week 3. We are looking at Paul's prayers that he has for these churches. And this is what he says in chapter 3. And we've talked about this before, but I love it so much. We'll probably preach on this 100 more times so long as God allows me to keep preaching. For this reason, what reason? For this reason, what? You know, Paul is, he's like your friend. You know the friend you have that doesn't know how to tell a story and they distract themselves? And then they start telling something, and then you're like, huh? And then like, wait, where was I? That's Paul. He's always kind of jumping on, and some of you are like, are you allowed to say that about, I'm not talking about Jesus here. I'm talking about Paul. He's just a guy who got distracted sometimes. But when he gets distracted, he always seems to get distracted by the same thing every time. It's for this reason. Well, what one? Well, we got to back up. It's in chapter 2. For this reason, once upon a time, you and I, all of humanity, we were dead in our sins. We may not have felt dead. We were more like spiritual zombies. We were animated, but we were far from God. There was something missing. By nature and by choice, we weren't walking with God. We weren't going his direction. We were trying to do our own thing. And once upon a time, that was our course in life. But by God's grace, he offered us this gift of Jesus. We've talked about this before, but kids are awesome at receiving gifts, aren't they? If you walk up to a kid and hand them a gift, they're like, sweet, for me? Yeah, there's only one question, for me? Yeah, okay. And then they're like, this is mine, and then they go play with it. If you walk up to an adult and hand them a gift, they're like, for me? You go, yeah, it's for you. Why? I just wanted to get you something. Do I have to get you something now? Like, is there, are there strings, right? We can't even accept it. And he goes, listen, we were all dead. You have to be like a child, Jesus said. We were all dead in our sin. And we Jesus would present this amazing opportunity to follow him. And we're kind of like, what strings come attached with that? Do I have to then give you something, Jesus? And he goes, no, no, no. It's a free gift. Receive it. There's this free gift of God's grace that he's offered us. We don't have to be dead anymore in our sin. We can be free. And not only can we be free from our sins, we can have this new family, a church with one another. He was talking to this group of people. I mean, through all of chapters 2 and 3, he keeps talking about this. Listen, there's people from different ethnic backgrounds in this church, and you're not getting along very well. You are saved from your old life. You're brought into a new family. That is what he's fixated on. He was just completely caught up. He had an enthusiasm unknown to mankind, right? For the gospel. Today is a wonderful day to think about being fixated on something because it's Super Bowl Sunday. There are people that we know that are so fixated on football that what happens today will make or break them. It's like I was second team all conference, right? They're so like into this identity related to an oblong pigskin and the way it bounces and the score. They're so caught. I mean, there's players that give their whole lives to this that once they retire, they don't know what to do with themselves. There are coaches who give up their families so that they can pursue this ridiculously cool game. Chris Norman, if you listen to this, I'm sorry. He's really big and strong. I mean, people are fixated. Paul was fixated on something bigger. Not a Super Bowl, not a game, not any of that. He's fixated on the work of Jesus and this free gift that we could be made free and get this new family. And so because of that, what happens? For this reason, I'm so pumped about the gospel, I fall, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. I bow. Look, some of us are like, well, yeah, that's what people do when they pray. Not really. In fact, the Jewish way of praying, generally speaking, is to stand up and to hold their Bibles before them and to say things out loud and sometimes to rock back and forth. That is more of a traditional stance for prayer for them. Now, there are times in the Bible where it talks about bowing. Solomon bows. Jesus bows in the garden. But generally, those are really intense, kind of overwhelmed with God's holiness moments. That's not why he's bowing here. He's bowing because he's so pumped about the grace of God. This is the, like, move that bus and the person's like, oh, and they fall down, right? They don't get injured. That wouldn't be good. But, like, they fall. Their knees are weakened by this glorious reality before them. That's what's happening. He said, for this reason, because of what Jesus has done, my knees bend. I bow before the Father, from whom every family, again, that is a big thing to say, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. He says, so I'm praying. Well, what's he praying for? Remember we said heart strength. What does that mean? That according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened. There's that strength. With power through the Holy Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ might dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. He says, I'm praying for you. You've received the grace of God. I'm praying that you would have heart strength. And the first strength is the strength to sell out. Now look, I know sell out is like a bad phrase for some, but just hang on for a second. You'd have strength to sell out, that God may strengthen us with power through his Spirit in our inner being, so that Christ might dwell in our hearts through faith. Paul is always talking about the inner being. We talked about this a few weeks ago. He's always talking. He's never like, God, I pray that they would have strength to make $1 billion and have six-pack abs and like a perfect person that they would marry. He's almost always talking about, I pray for internal things, that you would have strength in your spirit so that Christ might fully dwell within you. Now, he's not talking to people who don't know Jesus. These are Christians. He's saying, Christians, I'm praying that you are strong enough that Christ gets in every nook and cranny in your heart. That you'd sell out. You wouldn't just rent. The first place where my wife and I lived, we rented an apartment. And the apartment was like a lot of apartments. It had a funny smell to it. It wasn't someplace I planned on staying long term. It was painted just stark white everywhere with neutral carpet. That's what it was. And so I know some of you have moved into an apartment and you've made it home. You've like put yourself into it and trinkets everywhere. That wasn't us. We were like, we're not going to be here very long. Hopefully that smell goes away. We're not going to paint. We're just whatever cheap furniture we throw. We're just going to live here for a little while because we're just renting. And eventually we'll move on. And so we were there for about a year or so, or maybe two, and then we were able to get it into our first house. And our first house we bought, it also had a funky smell. I don't know what it is about us and funky smells, but we went in this house, and it only had one owner who smoked. And so as we walked through it, it looked right, but it didn't smell right. And so we're like, if we buy this, we've got to change everything. And so that's what we did. We bought the house, and we went in there, took the curtains out. I had no idea how much stank curtains could have. We took that out. We tore the carpet out, found hardwood floors underneath. We went in the bathroom, which was pink and black, almost cool, but not cool enough. So we tore it down. The kitchen was harvest gold, which was lovely. And it was all like linoleum this and 1970s appliances that. And we tore things down to the studs every single room. There was not one room in that house that looked like it had looked before. You would not go in there and say, oh, this is the same place as the old owner, because it looked completely different. Because every room had our touch on it. Every room had my sweat and blood and money and time put into it, right? Every little corner. He says, I pray that you have the strength so that Christ could dwell fully in every little corner in your heart. That he could put his time and his energy and his strength and his very blood into those drawers of your life that you want to keep shut. You know what we do, most of us? We rent to Jesus rather than sell to him. We're still the landlords, Jesus, and you can stay for a while. So long as you come, you know, like once a month or once a week, whenever I go to church, so long as you come and you pay me some spiritual blessings, you're allowed to stay. But you stay in this nice, tidy area over here, and I get the rest of it. And Paul's like, that's not how it works. It works that you go, it's all of yours, Jesus. Every corner, the basement. Look, some of us have houses. We won't even let loved ones go near, right? In certain corners, you're like, ooh, don't go in that room. Jesus goes, I want that room. Yeah, but Jesus, what about the way I spend my money? Can I hold it? No. That's mine. That's mine. Well, what about my sexuality? That's mine. What about how much I drink? That's mine. What about what I watch? That's mine. What about how I treat my annoying neighbors? That is mine. Every corner of your heart is mine. You're going to need strength to allow him in. Because what we want to do is just close off certain parts. Say, don't talk to me about that, Jesus. It gets uncomfortable when we go there. And Paul says, I am praying that you would have strength with Holy Spirit power in your inner being, that Christ might dwell, that there's a fullness of it, that he might occupy every corner in your hearts through faith. He's praying for heart strength, strength to allow Christ in. Would you pray that way? I mean, would you? Would you say, Jesus, search me and know me fully? Every corner, every crevice, every drawer, it's there for the taking. Could you sell out like that? Or would you rather just rent? He says, listen, for that reason, listen, if you understand how awesome Jesus is, you're like going, have it all. You're with me on my knees going, come on, Jesus, I'll take more because this is the good stuff. We're tempted to say, Jesus, leave that. And he's saying, no. I'm going to pray that you have strength to give it all. Heart strength to sell out rather than rent. Heart strength, secondly, to be together. Heart strength to be together. He said, I pray that so that Christ might dwell in your hearts through faith, that being rooted and grounded in love may have the strength to comprehend with all the saints. With all the saints. Chris is going to get into this a little bit next week, so I don't want to steal anything from him. But one of the amazing things about the work of Jesus is that it gives us a new family. One of the most difficult things about the work of Jesus is that it gives us a new family. I mean, if you want a life that is complicated and chaotic and at times messy, have a family, right? It's a challenge, isn't it? And yet he says, I am drawing you together for your own good. From all different walks all different backgrounds. These were folks that wouldn't talk to each other. They wouldn't eat meals with one another. They wouldn't even look at the other. They would never say, this is my brother, this is my sister, because they come from a different ethnic background than I do. And of course, now in the church, we've got that all sorted out, right? He says, listen, for this reason, he's doing something different. I'm going to pray that he explores every corner of your heart, including the prejudiced ones. I'm going to pray that he's going to go places that make you uncomfortable, and I'm going to pray that you have the strength to stick together with all the saints, all different kinds of saints from every family under whom Jesus gives his name, that you would stick together. Listen, faith is not an individual sport. If you say, I like the first part, Jesus can have my heart, I just want to deal with anybody. I mean, all of us know people who've tried that. Oh, I love Jesus. Yeah, I'm all in. I just hate the church. Right? I love him. I just hate his bride. Like, that wouldn't go over well. And in fact, if you introduce yourself to me later and you're like, hey, man, I love that sermon. I hate your wife. We're going to have a problem, right? We all know people who've tried to do their own thing. We've known the high school student who was all in, and then they went to university, and then they didn't get involved in a campus ministry or a church, and they're off in La La Land, right? We know people like that. And he's saying, you don't have to be alone. You're freed, and you get this family, and it will challenge you. That's why you need strength. So I'm going to pray for heart strength to give him every corner to sell out, for heart strength for you to stick together. Will you pray this way? Will you pray with me that we would be more unified even as we get larger and draw families from different backgrounds? Would you pray that way? Would you pray that we would have the strength to be the type of people and a true family of God that we're called to be? Heart strength to sell out, not to rent. Heart strength to stand and be together. And lastly, heart strength to grasp love. That you might have strength with all the saints to comprehend what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. What's fascinating is he says, I'm praying that you'd have the strength. Now, here's what he doesn't say. He doesn't say, I'm praying that you'd have the strength to know how much you should love God. I'm praying you have the strength to know how many church services to attend in order to be on track with Jesus. I'm praying you have the strength to memorize a bunch of texts in order to please God. He doesn't say that. He says, I'm praying you have the strength to know how much he loves you. I'm praying that you're strong enough to receive it even when you don't feel that way. I'm praying that you have the strength to hang on to this truth even if things get tricky. I'm praying that you have the strength to understand how much he loves you. A number of years ago now, this young lady in her early 20s came to talk to me about this person that she just got engaged to, and they were going to get married, and she wanted to know if I'd do premarital counseling and give her some advice and things. And generally speaking, those conversations are pretty fun to have because they're like, oh, we're so in love, blah, 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 blah. And we're like, you'll get over it, right? And then we just talk. No, just kidding. Love you, chair. But it was different this time. I said, well, tell me a little bit about him, because he wasn't there. And she goes, well, he doesn't have a very good job. He's not very ambitious. And I was like, okay. Well, my in-laws probably said that about me. So I'm like, okay, I'll give him a shot, you know? And then she said, and he's got kind of a drinking problem. And I was like, ugh. And my friends don't like the way that he talks to me, and he's not really a Christian. And I'm listening. Listen, generally, okay, if you ever want me to do your premarital counseling, don't start with, here's all the awful things about them. She's telling me all this stuff. And so I'm listening. I go, okay, all right, let's do this. She goes, yeah. I go, pretend you're me and I'm you. And I just came to you for advice on what to do in this marriage, and I described my, you know, future spouse in the way that you just described. What would you say to me? She said, I'd probably say you should break up with him. And I went, yeah. That's how I do counseling, by the way. Yeah. I was like, listen, I know this is hard. She started crying. But I love him, and he loves me. And I tried to get through to her what I try to get through to lots of people, which is, okay, he might, but he loves you. He loves you with a perfect love. I mean, he loves you, and you need to be strong enough, because what you're about to get called to is going to be difficult. So you need to be strong enough to hang on to the perfect love of the Father, which will never steer you wrong. It might steer you to hard places, but never wrong places. So you need to be strong enough to hang on to. Now, I don't know if she ever got it. I never saw her again. Not one more time did she ever follow up with me about it after that. She needed the Holy Spirit's strength to help her know she was loved by a higher love. See, without the love of God, we cannot grow spiritually. You can't. It's like, think about it in the physical realm. A child who doesn't get love from their parents, they have some issues, right? The same is true spiritually speaking. If we cannot believe and grasp and even feel to some degree this love of God expressed through the work of Jesus, we will never grow, and we need to be strong from the Holy Spirit in order to get it. In this town, in every town, but certainly in this town, there are so many people that have no idea that their Father in heaven loves them. There might even be people in this church, heaven forbid, but there might be, that have no sense of the love of their Father. Because when you look up, you see disappointment. You see frustration. You see a distance. And you need to be strong. A type of strength that only the Holy Spirit can give. And so when you're thinking about that friend or the coworker, or maybe you yourself, and all those kind of flood of nastiness comes back, that you're not worth it, and you're this, and you're that, and all of that, pray that the Spirit gives you strength that you can comprehend. And listen, some of you are here today just so you could hear that. Because by yourself, you can't hear. But in here, if I'm yelling it a little bit, it'll get through a little. Some of you are here today because you need to hear that your Father loves you. He sent Christ to offer you this gift, to pay the penalty that you should have paid so you can walk with him. And you get a family out of the deal too. What a tremendous gift, his grace. Paul prayed, I want you to have heart strength. Heart strength. Strength to sell, not just to rent. Strength to be together when you want to maybe just do your own thing, and strength to recognize the love of God for you. Now, I have to say this. God doesn't love you because you're lovely. Okay? I mean, you look great. I'm not saying that. But he doesn't love us because we get everything in order. He doesn't love us because we're lovely. We're lovely because he loves us. Do you hear the difference? We're lovely because he loves us. There's a pastor that tells this story about his older sister who had a doll, and the doll was named Pandy. And the doll was dollish. I don't know. I have boys. So she liked it. And he said he didn't get it. But she took this doll with her everywhere she went. And so she would sleep at night with the doll. And, you know, if she was eating, she would set the doll at the table with her or whatever. If she wanted to take a bath, she'd be going to take the doll in the bath, whatever. And he said by the time he became aware of the doll was fairly tattered. It was missing an eye, it was kind of beat up. And he said, but it didn't matter to his sister. She just loved the doll. And so he said, because she would take it everywhere, if she went to grandma's house, he would take the doll. If they went on vacation, she would take the doll. So he says, there's this one time we went on vacation, and they're from Chicago to Canada. She took the doll. And on the way home, almost back home, she's like, I forgot Pandy the doll. Now listen, as a father of sons, I'd be like, whatever, get over it, right? Right? You guys are like, no, that's very mean. How far would you drive for a beat-up doll? Well, he went all the way back. He knew that if I don't go back and get this doll, she's never going to forgive me. So he turns the car around, drives back, crosses the border, does all the stuff, goes in and says, is Pandy here? And they're like, she answers to Pandy. You know, what? Doll, looks like there's missing an eye, whatever, whatever. Like, we haven't seen it. Can we be let into the room? Yes, they go in the room. It's already been cleaned. Like, oh, it's not there. They went down to the laundry room, and there was Pandy kind of wrapped up in blankets and sheets and whatever, and it was going to be washed essentially to death. It probably would have got so battered. And they rescued this doll. And he said, you should have seen my sister as we brought this doll home. It was like the most precious thing in the world to her, this beat-up doll. And he said, the measure of my sister's love for that doll was that she would travel all the way to a distant country to save her. He said, Pandy was no more than a rag doll, but my sister loved her with a love that made Pandy beautiful. My sister loved this thing with a love that made it beautiful. That's us. We are the tattered, you look great, but we are the tattered ragdoll that isn't lovely, so Jesus decides to love us. Jesus loves us, which in fact makes us lovely. What does he say? That you may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth. How wide is this love? So wide it even grabs its arms around us. What is the breadth and length? How far does this thing go, this love of his? It never fails. It just keeps going. What is the height? It is so brilliantly magnificent that we can't even comprehend how high this love goes. And what is the depth? Able to plumb the very depths to retrieve a lost one. We need power to receive that kind of love. This week, let's pray for heart strength. Strength to sell out every corner. Strength to stick together as a church family. And strength to grasp this incredible love. Let's pray. Father, as we have an opportunity to listen to a song and to take communion together, would you sink these truths deeper into our hearts? Father, this is a wonderful gift of Christ. It might sound hard to wrestle through dealing with a church family or to give up areas of our lives that are maybe difficult to do, but Father, the benefit, the grace, the inheritance, the relationship with you that we are given is so much greater. God, I thank you that this Pastor Paul keeps coming back to these same ideas of your great big love and your grace. May we be the people that pray for that more than anything else, that we would know you, that we'd experience your power, and that we'd be strong, even strong enough to know and to feel your great love for us. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.